T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Imagine the level of frustration in this locker room is very high.
Yeah.
That's Adam Beasley punching right into Dave Kilgore's soul.
I don't even care. I don't even care about that. I don't even care about how he heckles me. But what I heard on the radio yesterday.
It was magic?
With him and Zach. Was glorious. I just happened to be in my car when one of these people who wanted the Dolphins to tank,
right,
and then complain about how they tank, and then Beasley just got him.
You got him.
You know, it's not fair. The opening rounds and Mike Tyson's punch out, it's the warm up rounds. That's what Zach is. I mean, you guys are certainly at least the welterweight, maybe even the middleweight, but he is just like the flyweight, all right?
Brush him aside.
All right.
What was the big point of contention yesterday?
Oh, I mean, he was saying how Chris Greer can't draft. How he's why have any confidence in Greer because he's done nothing right. And how Minka Fitzpatrick was a terrible pick. And I'm like, bro, they're going to get a first-round pick for him. Just because he's not a perfect fit in the system in which he's playing doesn't mean he's a bad player or he's a bad pick. And he couldn't get off the fact that the Dolphins are not re-signing their own, and that makes Chris Greer a failure. They didn't re-sign Laremy Tunsil. They're not re-signing Minka Fitzpatrick. And I explained to him how basic economics works, and I think it was helpful for him. I mean, he may have to go and look up the word economics. I think by and large, he got him in the right direction.
The big question I have with the Minka trade and the relationship was, you know, you guys have repeatedly reported they tried to fix it. Why 2 weeks into the season was it not fixable? What was the relationship? How did it get to a point where they have basically a season where they're supposed to experiment and find out who are the guys who are supposed to be here? How the hell did they get to a point where they decided, nah, never mind, not fixable, and even Minka didn't want to hear about fixing it?
Well, a couple of things. One, Minka, excellent player, hard worker, maybe not the mentally toughest guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that fair to say that if after the first sign of adversity, and yeah, there were multiple signs of adversity this year, but he looks for the ripcord? He doesn't see it through. I think that's maybe the whole, you know, the psych testing, and you know, they do all these personality tests and try to figure out who these guys are they're taking may have been off. Maybe he isn't this ultimate team first gym rat that he was sold to us as. There's a lot that went on behind the scenes that we don't know. 7 months, I've heard this is in the making, and even, you know, beyond that, he was unhappy with Matt Burke. But it's kind of strange to me that it's that if you would take one of the members of the secondary that would want out, maybe even two, that feel like I'm wasting my talents on this team, we're not getting this right. It wouldn't be Rashad Jones. The dude's 30 plus years old. He's got a very small window left in the league. But Xavien Howard, he's one of the not just the best player in the team. He's probably one of the best 15 players in the entire National Football League. Certainly the top 25-30. And you're not hearing this out of him, are you? And so to me, that's pretty telling. I think that there is something that, I mean, it's taboo to say he's soft or he's not mentally fit for this game. I'm not going to go down that road. But I will say is this. They were wrong when they thought he was this ultimate A++++ character that's not going to give anybody grief.
And that's been so strange because, like, all the things that have come out with him, all I see is gritty, leadership, winner. And I'm just like, oh. Like, aren't all these kind of getting checked off at the pass of this?
Like, he's the first one out the door.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a disconnect there. There's more to the story, obviously, than what we know.
Right.
But on the surface, it kind of looks really bad for Minka.
One of the things and the problems that I had with this whole situation is, first of all, I've never met a second-year guy who should be demanding, get me out of here. That is hilarious in itself. But the fact is, ever since we heard about Minka Fitzpatrick, he has been touted as one of the guys that could play anywhere in the secondary. He could come off the edge. He can do a lot of different things. So I was shocked to hear he was upset that they were using him in a bunch of different ways. That's why you're here.
Again, I'm going to be very careful here because I don't want to specifically call him soft. But he was the one complaining about taking on linebackers and tight ends and playing in the box.
Oh, so he didn't like big boy football.
Correct.
He liked little slow SEC tiny guy wide receiver football.
He wanted to cover the Edelmans of the world, not the Gronks, okay?
Okay, well, guess what?
It wasn't everybody.
The only Edelmans you're going to play against play for the Patriots, and you only play them twice a year.
So, again, I mean, I think Minka in the right system can be a fabulous player. I
but
think
guess
he's got an incredible skill set.
Bees.
I also think he needs maybe to come to grips with the fact that he's owed nothing in this league, that the money he's earned so far is all he's guaranteed, and going forward, he's going to have to prove that he is fit for the National Football League. And again, there could be more behind the scenes.
Right.
We do know that Brian Flores likes playing little psyops. He likes getting in guys' heads. He likes to mess with them. He's messed with Josh Rosen since the day Rosen got traded to the Dolphins. He messed with Kenny Stills. But if Flores is messing with you, there's a reason probably. It's that he's not getting out of you what he wants. And, again, that could be part of the broader problem.
We were just talking about this last segment about the Josh Rosen thing because, I mean, it's been frosty at best, it seems, if he can get any kind of compliment, Josh Rosen, from Brian Flores. So the whole quarterback situation, it's kind of the one last Hail Mary they got as a change they can actually do to make it seem like they're doing something to win. Does he have any interest in doing it? Like, is the plan just, hey, we're going to ride Ryan Fitzpatrick till he's dust? Like, what is it going to take for Josh Rosen to get some snaps that matter?
Well, a couple of things. One, they insisted that a month ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was they made the quarterback decision, that Rosen was not ready. Now, time has passed since then, and certainly events of the world, including one of the worst starts in NFL history, have happened. So that could change their thinking. But they are not going to rush Josh Rosen in 2019 just to get an answer on Josh Rosen in 2019, which leads me to believe that all along they intended to take a quarterback in 2020, even after trading for Rosen, and they saw him as yet another commodity in their big treasure chest of potential assets to move or to use at a later date. They're playing the long game here. When you have a five-year guaranteed contract, and I think at this point the owner really does believe in the long game here with these guys, you can take a year or two with Rosen and actually develop him and not throw him to the wolves and not have to get an answer on him because you're going to draft a quarterback next year anyway. And if Rosen, who is dirt cheap for the next couple of years, if at worst he's your backup, and if he all of a sudden the light comes on and he becomes Drew Brees and he's fantastic, then you have your quarterback and you get a boatload for Tua. I mean, that's how we have to think about how the Dolphins are managing their roster. We have to throw out the old playbook where if you have a first-round pick, you're wedded to them. And if you give up a second-round pick, you got to play them right away. That's what you have to do when you're in a win-now mentality. They're not. They're in a win-later mentality, and later might be 2020. And I'm sorry to tell this to Dolphins fans, it might be 2021. They could win 4, 5, 6 games again next year. But if they're building the assets the way they want and they think they can create a sustainable roster that's going to compete year in, year out, they're going to be okay with that as long as they're trending in the right direction. So that's the thing with Rosen is I would love to see him play. I think he'd be better for this team. I think he could use the experience. But if they're sitting back there and thinking, you know what, in 2020, he might be our week one starter, especially if Tua isn't ready, and he goes out there and lights it up, then, A, we might have our quarterback all along, and we can move Tua. Or, two, if he lights it up, another team's going to be clamoring for him when their quarterback gets hurt. And we've seen 5, 6 quarterbacks get hurt in the last week or two. So I think there are a lot of different options, and we have to kind of broaden our thinking as to roster management and team building and all that, because they're not thinking two-dimensionally. They're thinking three and even four-dimensionally, and I think a lot of these trades show that. They don't see players, and again, this is the flip side of the coin is these are human beings you're dealing with. They're not, you know, stocks. They're not bonds. They're not commodities. They're humans with souls and brains and wants and desires. But they kind of see them as commodities, and they're finding ways to maximize those values. And if and the way to maximize Josh Rosen's value is not get him destroyed this year, which he will be behind that offensive line, develop him, build him into a commodity they can flip going forward, they're going to do that.
Bees, does this ever get to the point where guys are looking around the locker room going, why can't this guy block? Why can't, you know, it starts becoming personal.
They know.
Of course. I mean, you're right, Leroy. They know that they're not equipped. They know that what the deal is. They know that they are not being set up to succeed. They're being set up to fail. And the only thing they can control is how they perform. Because at the end of the year, the Dolphins are going to have 7 premium picks and 12 total at least. My contention is that $150 million of cap space they're going to have, yes, they're going to bring in some veterans, but they're also going to try to buy more picks. And they're going to, this year, next year, the year after, they're trying to get as many picks every year as they can, and they're going to use whatever assets they can to do that. So these guys know, we stunk this year, but did I stink? Because if I stunk, I'm out of here next year. And every other team in the league saw me stink, and so my value goes down. So that's what it's called being a professional. It's trite, but it's true. They have to be a professional, and they have to take care of their own business, or their careers can go sideways. In 2007, it was crazy. That year was so damaging on so many different levels for so many people, coaches, GMs, and players. It ended careers because the negativity fed on the negativity. It spiraled downward, and people who were talented I just gave up or didn't try as hard. And then when they went to try to get a job the next year, their next employer is like, why the hell would I hire you? You were garbage last year. I know some of it wasn't your control, but you quit when the going got tough. That's what all these guys are going to have to guard against. So, yes, they know they're going to be god-awful this year. I don't know if they think they're going to be one of the worst teams in NFL history, which they could be. They're on that path. But they do know they're bad, and they know the only thing they can control is how they play, and if they want a future in the league, they got to play better than they have.
Well, sorry about this, but we're going to hear from Chris Greer this morning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I think he's talking 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, Bees, one of the things that I just find funny about this whole situation is, one, Micah Fitzpatrick's a second-year guy, and if he didn't like being used in a multiple of different positions, he went to the wrong team, because that's all they do in Pittsburgh is move their guys around. And the other thing is, it's funny how this quarterback situation always seems to play out right after the bye week. So regardless of what they're saying, he's not ready, he's not this, they always seem to be ready right after the bye week. Is that not? Tell me if I'm wrong. The bye week always seems to get to work at some get right.
Can Fitzpatrick survive till the bye week?
But it,
yeah, that's a good question, whether or not he's the bionic man and can handle another. I mean, he's been hit 10, 12, 13 times a game.
Yep.
That ain't good at any age, particularly at 36, almost 37. So you're right. I think the plan all along was let's get through this gauntlet, because his first four games are just brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. Get through these first four games, and then we'll stick our head out. If we're 0-4 and we need a spark, we'll play Rosen. If we think he can handle it.
Spark.
And that's probably what it'll be. And I think they're going to get a long look at him going forward. But, yeah, you're right.
You need a spark, but you're
curious. You wonder how much if this was a true competition to begin with, or if this was actually the plan.
You need a spark, but your match is wet.
That's true.
Oh, well said.
Before we get you out of here, Bees, what's the thing you, I guess, are most interested in hearing from Chris Greer today?
Oh, goodness. Is anybody else going to get traded? Like, have you talked to Xavier Howard and assured him that he's not going to be traded?
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. I mean, what's the nucleus you're going to build around going forward? And have you gotten any good tips on reservations for Vegas? Because we're all going to be there in April.
Well, that's a plus. Well, that's a, you got an exciting draft and an exciting place. Thanks for the time, Bees. Appreciate it, man.
Later,
Bees.
That's Adam Beasley. We always love having him on the show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.